Hello people and welcome back to my YouTube channel Out of Bounds, and we are back with football this time around, and I am joined with two guests, or actually just one guest as I like to say, because Sam is a regular on the show now, so as I said, he just helps us.
Come on.
So Sam, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. Like you said, I'm part of the furniture now, innit? So I can't complain, man. What are you saying though, bro? You good?
I'm calm, man. He just moved in, pays no rent, but you know, he loves to have you.
Living rent free.
Yeah. And also joined by our special guest today, Adrian. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for rolling out the red carpet. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. Obviously, just tell the people what team you support.
Unfortunately, this year I'm a Liverpool fan. But
I said unfortunate. You know when those top teams want to feel like it's been so bad for them, like Arsenal fans have been having it. But you know, it's just crazy. I just deeped. You see how United fans get a lot of stick for being United fans, but they live in London. How come Liverpool fans never get the same treatment?
Honestly, I think it's because we were unsuccessful. So I thought, obviously, United, like going back to school times, yeah, Fergie was running rampant in the 90s and the noughties, even in the early 10s. So it's almost like they're glory hunters, whereas why would you, in your right mind, pick suffering? Which is what us Liverpool fans had to do for a really, really long time. So I think that's probably why we get a bit of less stick in that regard.
No, 100%. But as you said before, unfortunately, it's been a down year for Liverpool. I mean, especially given the standards you guys have had like over the past like 4 or 5 years, you've been competing with Man City, doing 99 points, 98 points, just to win the same thing as like Arsenal at the end of the season. And I'm sure tough. So you then come back to them this season, whereas the team has not been playing to the standards that we've not seen them play. How has that been for you as a Liverpool fan? Like, talk us through it.
Oh, like it's annoying if I'm being honest, because as you say, you know, like Liverpool have literally been slugging it with the biggest as Man City, you know, Liverpool have gotten 97 points, 93, 92 points, and then not gone on to not win the league. So yeah, man, it is a bit annoying because it seems like when City do have a bit of an off year or a bit of a year where they're not quite at the heights,
we're
meant to be seen in terms of capitalizing on that. So yeah, man, obviously the season's been a bit disappointing, but I think it is understandable because you look at some of the parts in our team, you know, namely midfields, and you know, you look at the likes of, you know, your Hendersons and your Milners, and now unfortunately even your Fabinhos that were once integral to the way that we played.
That full off was crazy.
Now they seem to be our worst parts. So yeah, man, it's natural. Obviously cycles die, and you need to re-up. So hopefully, you know, we're aggressive in the summer and we right some of these wrongs.
Do you think that's the cycle thing has been the biggest downfall for Liverpool this season? Just simply because if you hear the way Klopp was speaking at the beginning of the season, talk about we're not making any more signings, this and that. And I actually believed coming into this season, Liverpool were going to win the league, just because I did think the signing of Haaland will change the way City play a bit. And I think the adjustment period, whereas in Liverpool have that bit of continuity, but then, don't get me wrong, I have been enjoying the demise of Liverpool, but at the same time, it's not what I expected. Do you think so? Not recycling the players has been the biggest issue with Liverpool this season, or has it been something else?
I mean, 100%. I think if you look at what made Liverpool successful over the last 4 or 5 years, it's the fact that Liverpool, they ran longer than you, they ran harder than you, and they ran per 90 more times than you. And if you look at, you know, across those three metrics, I think we're down the table quite a bit. So yeah, I think, as I sort of said, you know, we had, you know, like for me, like I don't think players like Henderson got the credit that they deserve, because I think at his heights, he was really, really important to the way that we played. I think, you know, at the time it didn't look like that big of a loss, but I think, you know, Wijnaldum was good for two things. One, he was always available and was present. And two, you know, he put in the hard yards as well. So I think, you know what? I'm sure you're surprised. You know, I was quite surprised by this demise. But then when you look at it and you're honing in it and you're like, well, hang on a minute. Liverpool don't actually have any midfielders between the ages of like 22 to 29 that you can put your hat on and back in the battle. So it makes sense, you know. And I think going back to that point you made about Jurgen Klopp, me personally, I don't think Jurgen Klopp is happy with the cards he's been dealt. But I think he's just trying to play the card game, you know, because we went in, we bid, you know, 60 million quid for Tchouaméni. He goes to Real Madrid. But then yet still, we don't get a midfielder. So for me, I think it's quite clear that that's the area that was identified. And it's one of two things. Either Klopp thought, you know, this midfield, he could deal with it now, and then he can go in and get a bigger target in the summer. Or the rug has been pulled out from under him and he's keeping Sturm. So what side of the fence do you want to sit on? I don't know, but I think it's one of those two things.
So would you agree that you think that's been the biggest issue with Liverpool? Do you think there is also more to it?
I think when it comes to creating like championship cycles, you always have to refresh your team. We've seen it with Fergie, we've seen it with Arsene Wenger, and we've seen it with Pep. And even to a certain extent this season, we've seen it with City as well, that some of the players have been there for a while, they're getting stagnant, a bit stale, they've, you know, been in a title race for the last how many years. And that starts to happen. And look, we saw it with Liverpool in terms of they've never been big spenders, like outlays based on, okay, this is what FSG is going to spend. Normally they sell players and then they reinvest back into the team. And it kind of seems not self-sabotage, but sometimes we see Fergie do this when he wants something, the ball doesn't give it to him. And just out of spite, you say, do you know what? Okay, cool. I want the midfielder. You didn't give me midfielder. So I'm not going to bring no one in. I'm going to let you see how dead the midfield's going to be without that refresh, because you can't be going to a season and you're still relying on injured Naby Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, that he shouldn't even still be at Liverpool, Naby Keita, you got Hendo, that's at the tail end of his career, and the type of player that is, he has to be young because he's pressing a lot, running, putting in the hard yards. You can't expect someone that's 31, 32 to be doing that week in, week out. And it's like, yes, they bought Nunes, but more time, if you're trying to go for the big trophies, you will buy like three mainstays. You'll buy maybe a centre back, a midfielder, and a striker just to solidify where you're trying to go, just to have some freshen up. But you bought Diaz, then you went to go and get another striker. You had Jota before. So I just think where they didn't strengthen in the midfield, which they needed, because Thiago's my guy, but he can't always be available for you. So you need to have someone that can be there when he's not fit. And when you look at Liverpool's midfield, not like they've always had creativity in the midfield, but right about now, the midfield's a bit stiff. There's no creativity. It's just the same rigid type of play. And that's kind of been their downfall. And you got to remember, you got to realize, especially in football, your key positions are your centre back, your midfield, and your focal point up front. And right about now, they've got the centre backs, they've got the up front, but in the middle, they're missing out on having, you know, the right guys, the cogs, the Kevin De Bruyne's, the Bernardo Silva's, the Gundogan's. Do you know what I mean? They haven't got that at the moment. That's where they're kind of suffering and struggling right about now.
No, I 100% agree. I think another thing as well, for me, I think when I look at this Liverpool team, and it's something I didn't really take into account until further down the season, was the mental fatigue of what they went through last season. Because up until literally the final week of the season, everybody was talking about Liverpool quadruple and all this run, because obviously they beat us twice in the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, which people were saying are cups that Klopp doesn't take seriously. And Klopp was like, if I wanted to do it, I can do it. So he goes and he collects those two, and people are like, you know what, the quadruple's on. And then you man scored that goal against them when Salah scored, and everybody was bantering, talking about 3-2, this and that, final day of the season, just for Gundogan to go and take that back. And then you also see Salah talking about revenge against Real Madrid, this and that. And then you go and lose the Champions League final, and it's like, damn, what more do I have to do? So I feel like the team could have been a bit demoralized coming into the season, especially like, do we have to keep on going for 99 points as well? But one thing I just want to pick on is like in terms of individual players as well. I want to speak about Van Dijk. Now, Van Dijk is world class. I mean, he finished top three in the Ballon d'Or and all that kind of stuff. But I've said before, I feel like Van Dijk has become some of a centre back that relies on the money in the bank of what he had in his Ballon d'Or charge season. In terms of, if you were to say me last season, I truly believe when him and Matip played, Matip was a better centre back of them two. And when obviously Matip has now got extra legs on him, Konate has gone down, and Gomez as well, I don't know what's happened to him. I do think the flaws of Van Dijk has shown a bit more in terms of he just doesn't engage in tackles. He's good at covering space and aerial threat, but in terms of stopping a guy one on one, I can't say whether it's good or bad. I just don't feel like he engages in those things. Do you think the criticism of Van Dijk that has come within, especially this year, has been fair on him, or do you think there is more to do with the structure of the defense? I'm Adrian.
Bro, I think you're almost talking to the wrong person here, because I'm like the biggest Van Dijk supporter on the planet. Like, for me, and when people like to throw Liverpool into certain conversations, you know, they'd like to call Alisson the best keeper ever, well, keeper that the league's ever seen. You know, I can throw to you Peter Cech, Schmeichel. You know, people talk about Robertson being the best left back ever. I talk to you about Ashley Cole, Steven Gerrard, Mo Salah. But for me, the player that I, without beyond all unreasonable doubt, vouch for is Virgil van Dijk. And I think by his own standards, he's had a poor season. And I think for me, things that I've never seen before happen are happening. As you rightly said, you know, his lack of engagement, you know, players are getting past him, players are beating him in sprints. I mean, I saw Embuemo dust him. And I said, oh my God, what is happening here? I do think that because I think if there is one flaw, because you look at Van Dijk, and for me, he's the prototype. Like, if you're going to build a centre half from the ground up, it would be Van Dijk. And he's 6'4", mm-hmm. he's quick, he's got an exceptional diag, you know, exceptionally strong, he's a leader, he's a mountain of a man. Everything you want in the centre half he has. And as you said, I think the only sort of blemish on him personally, in my opinion, is that lethargy, and it's that sort of lethargicness, and it's that bit of, I don't know if it's laziness or arrogance, maybe a bit of both. Yeah. Wherein, yeah, as you do say, he doesn't like to engage. But I think, in some senses, I think he's got credit in the bank, and I think, you know, the reason why he doesn't want to engage, he doesn't need to engage, is because players are simply afraid to go past him. I think there was a period of time for like a season and a bit, nobody in football sort of dribbled past him, and I think a reason as to why he's maybe had a bit of a bad season this year is to do with the point that you made about Liverpool coming so close, yeah, being so far. Because he actually had an interview where he said after the Brentford game, his body broke down on him. Like, for the first time in his Liverpool career, he said, look, like, I played 65 games last year. I just couldn't do it anymore. I needed a break. You know, I played 65 games 1 year. I missed out on the league by a point. I lost in the Champions League final. I play a season. Then have to play a World Cup in November. I just needed a break, and I just needed a rest. And I think, you know, since he has actually come back into the side, I actually think he's been very, very good, and he's showing some of those levels as what he had. So I agree with you. I do think, you know, we have sort of seen sort of bad habits come to play. Hopefully, I want to attribute a lot of it to fatigue, and obviously, you know, he done ACL year before last as well. But for me, as I said, you know, what a defender for me. Like, I put him top three centre halves to play in the league. And the only two reasons as to why I wouldn't go any further than that is because of, you know, the lack of honours, and I suppose, you know, doing it consistently over time. There's the likes of your Rios and your Terrys and, you know, your Tony Adams, whoever you want to throw in there, have really done it a bit longer than he has. But in terms of top level, for me, like, I think he's right up there.
But I was even going to come to that to ask you if you felt like he actually deserves a seat at the table with all the John Terrys and Rios and all those guys. Because, as I said before, as you mentioned before, I think people like to do this thing with olden players where they like to behave they had no flaws in their games, whereas in they talk about that the perfect player. Like, if you were to mention something about, like, let's just bring out R9, for example. Actually, not even Arna, I'm going to say Henry, for example. People think saying Suarez in the same conversation as Henry is outrageous, but I think it's because of the memory people had of Henry as well. Saying that,
of nostalgia.
I just felt like Van Dijk doesn't belong in those conversations just because of, as you mentioned, the honours as well. And the amount of time, because some of these players were doing it from when they were young. I mean, look at when Terry came into Chelsea, when Rio got into United and all this kind of stuff. So I'm not saying he can't be top five. I just feel like errors matter, and what those players did in their era, I feel like was more impressive than what Van Dijk did in his era. But just moving up a bit further up the pitch, we talk about Salah. And Sam, I'll start with you on this one. Because I think up until recently, people have been saying he's been trash since he came back from AFCON and stuff. And I think at the beginning of the season, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Klopp was trying to use him as a playmaker more than, you know what, he's a goal scorer kind of, you know what I'm saying? Do you think, first of all, it's been fair to say Salah has been trash since AFCON? And secondly, what more do you think he could be doing right now to you? Helps Liverpool out of the situation?
Well, look, even before AFCON, he wasn't having a great season anyway, or performance-wise and what people expect from Salah and what they've normally seen from him. A lot of people kind of... It was a bit underwhelming start to the season. And I've spoke about this on other pods and so forth. And what it is, you got to realise it's a transition period, because when he, you know, was playing last season... Even though he was playing on the right-hand side, he was still like the focal point of the attack as a centre striker, innit? So he would start wide, and it's more like the Ronaldo thing where you start right wide, but you drift into the middle.
Yeah.
Now he's playing as a, in a sense, inverted winger. Before he would play as an inverted forward, now it's an inverted winger where you've got a vocal point, or at some point they would have a vocal point of Nunes up top, and Salah would have to be kind of be like a traditional wing in terms of servicing your striker. Whereas before, he's a guy that's going to get the ball from the right-hand side, try and beat people and bend it. Whereas now he has to facilitate and realise, oh, do you know what? I've got a focal point as my number nine and I need to supply him. That's why at sometimes you would see Nunes, he's gone to the left. You play Jota down the middle, who's going to drop down as a false nine, and the two wide guys can kind of come inside and play as two strikers as a diamond 4-4-2 per se. So going back to your original question, would I say since AFCON, I would just say for me, just through from the expectation that we've had from Salah, it hasn't been a great season. But if you look at the numbers wise, I think they said he's the only player to score 20 goals plus in five consecutive Premier League seasons, which is an achievement. Even though this is a down year for him, isn't it? I just think the expectations that we expect from Salah from the last few years, he hasn't lived up to it in terms of the memorable goals, beating players. There was a point where Salah became like Ronaldo, where if you're out and you see Liverpool scored, yeah, you know Mo Salah has scored. You don't have to check it. You could just, he's on a score sheet. And there was a phase when Ronaldo was doing that in 08-09, and 07-08, you just see United score, you know Ronaldo's on a score sheet. So I just think if it was to rank it out of 10, I would say Salah's having a nice steady 7 season. Do you know what I mean? Nothing too great, but not bad.
It's funny you say that, because every time, like especially like last season, season before, Liverpool go 1-0 down, it's like, job's not finished, because you know that there's always a Salah goal waiting in the back.
Exactly.
I'll make it 1-1. But it's funny you said that in terms of Salah and the focal point, because one player of Liverpool that I felt like I've defended, like it was one of my own, was like Bobby Firmino. Because I felt like what he was giving to that Liverpool team was so important that it goes beyond stat sheet. And I think, when I mean stat sheet, I think stats, the way people describe stats, it just goes and assists. I think if you start going into all the in-depth stats of distance covered and link-up plays and blah, blah, you can see the value what Firmino gives or whatever. But the kind of profile of strikers or forwards that has now been brought in is completely different to what Firmino is. Do you think with these crop of players, Klopp can still bring Liverpool back to dominance with the forwards that he's got now?
So I actually think Sammy actually made some really, really good, really, really good points as opposed to with regards to Mo Salah. I remember watching the Arsenal game and I saw this guy have chalk in his boots like he was Jermaine Pennant in 06, and he was literally sitting in Tomiyasu's pocket. I was furious, and I think a big part as to why maybe we've not necessarily gotten the best out of Mo Salah is because of two things. I think one, I think Darwin Nunes, I think, you know, as much as he's starting to come good now, I think his misses and his adaption phase was having an impact on us and was having an impact on the way that we play. And then if you see how what Cody Gakpo does, he seems much more like a natural heir to Bobby's throne. And now we're starting to see Salah's now looking lively and looking like himself. Because now, as great as Mo Salah has been for us for the past 5 years, I think he does have some pretty obvious flaws. You know, every player.
He's no Hazard. He's no Hazard. That's it.
I mean, yeah, he's never got a year without scoring before. You're right. He's not Hazard. Yeah, but I think you know the best Mo Salah is the Mo Salah that's closest to the box because he's a lethal striker and at the end of the year he will always put up numbers no matter what he's doing no matter how he's played he'll leave with 20 plus and we take it for credit for granted as Liverpool fans because he does it every single year and I think just to answer your question, I think Klopp is now had to I said the R word about five times probably on this podcast, rebuild and slowly but surely Klopp is almost sculpting a brand new front three where when you look at Nunes on the left and his chaotic self, you know, defenders just can't handle him. Gap was a very cute player. Like he can sort of drop deep, and he's a really good dribbler, and his passing is pretty decent as well. So then he's a physical, he's a unit. He's like 6'4", hold up play is decent. And then he does a lot of the things Firmino does because I know it's cliche, but there's a quote where somebody said, "If you watch the game, you don't see for Firmino, but if you watch Firmino, you see the whole game," kind of thing. If you look at the all the quotes from Liverpool players, because I think that's the best measure of finding out how impactful a player is looking at what their peers say about them. You know, everybody calls him, you know, he's the MVP, he's the system, he gets us ticking. And look, you know, unfortunately, he can't do what he was doing maybe 3-4 years ago, and there has been that void in the Liverpool side. So I think to answer your question, I think Klopp is started to re-sculpt that front line, and now all of a sudden you're like. Diaz to come back, Gakpo, Nunes, Salah still there. And then you've got your other cute little pieces like Jota, he's had an injury ravaged year this year, but typically, you know, that's 15 to 20 goals all comps in your squad. I'm excited about how that front line is looking. And if we could get close to the heights of your peak Mane, Firmino, Salah days, then we're cooking again.
Wait, just a quick question before I move on to the next week. At any point this season, did you ever feel like, Klopp, you've taken us as far as you can take us, thanks for the memory, but it's time?
Never. Not for a single second. Do I think Jurgen Klopp, he has a large part to play with the corners of our season? Yes. Do I think we should have ever been as low as 10th or wherever the hell we were in the league? No. And at the end of the day, could he have coached us to a better situation? 1,000%. He's had a bad year by his own standards. But for me, like he's the man. Like I see people, they're not too sure. Klopp out. And it's funny because this is a man that's been excellent for the past 5 years, and then you'll have people saying, I said 4 years ago, I said 3 years ago, you know, I didn't think Klopp was right for the job and all of this sort of stuff.
After he's won everything,
that's mad.
I was saying before, and I think one thing as well, even though I do agree with you, I think half the failure is maybe it's to do with Klopp and stuff because, as you mentioned, not that he should go on Conte's level, but some managers will put more pressure on the board to be like, you know what, this isn't working. Get me what, like, I've shown. Because Klopp's a manager, he can now go to the board and say, you know what, if you give me the players, I can show you what I can do, kind of things. But then when you look at where Liverpool were before Klopp came in, because I think he's also saved, is it FSG?
He saved their bacon. That's why he's unsackable.
Yeah, I think because if not for the job he did, these men would be getting banners out like, what's it called, Arsenal Fan TV were doing back or when Wenger was still around and stuff. But because Klopp was actually a manager that was able to develop players. I mean, you look at the signings that, not to say Liverpool haven't made signings, but you look at, you've signed Mane, Van Dijk, like, none of these players were world-class coming into the club. They all became world-class playing with Klopp, which is why a lot of these players get branded with system players because of what they've done. But saying that, I mean, at the end of the day, when you reach a certain level of greatness, it's about what have you done for me lately. And as you guys know, you are now 5-2 down in the Champions. Is it 5-2? Is your guys 5-2 down in the Champions League?
I lost count, but yeah, it's 5-2.
Something like that.
something like that, I think.
Before I tell you, do you guys believe? Because within them 3 weeks, Liverpool have found a bit of form now. And we'll just touch a bit on the 7-0 slapping. Do you guys think that tie is done, or can Liverpool still salvage something and come back in the Champions League? Sam, you can go first.
I'll let you go first. All right, quickly go. I was gonna say, Adrian. To be honest, I think they can't salvage it. The tie is done, man. Because Real Madrid are gonna have to capitulate for Liverpool to win the tie, because they've changed it with their away goals thing now. Anyway, so. They have to just win out. So and I see Real Madrid, even though Real Madrid haven't been on a great form, because it's weird, like Real Madrid lost to Barcelona, but Barcelona lost to Man United, but Liverpool slapped Man United 7-0. It's mad how football works, isn't it? But
yeah.
I don't see Liverpool just going to the Bernabeu and slapping Real Madrid 6-0. I don't see that happening or winning 5-0. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's done and dusted. Liverpool's main thing and main objectives for this season is just finishing in the top four, getting the Champions League for next season, and then building that midfield and building that team. And I think even if Klopp wants to go, just to go back to the previous conversation I had, even if Klopp wants to go, Liverpool needs to take that advantage and be that first mover and give Xabi Alonso that opportunity, because we've seen what he's doing with Bayer Leverkusen, and he's from that Pep school, innit, where them men are critical thinkers when it comes to, you know, football. And we've seen what these prodigies of Pep are doing, Kompany, Xavi and Arteta. And I think if you want to, you know, be future proof and be on that new wave of the new manager, if Klopp was to go at any point, the first thing they need to do before they think about Gerrard, go and tap in with Xabi Alonso first.
Alonso first.
We're going to tap him with a barge pole, man.
Tap in with Xabi Alonso first and see, because his concept of thinking and how football was, and you realise all those technical DMs that play DMs, they can make great managers, because they're the guys that they saw the pitch, they know how they want their team to play, how to spread the pitch and get your players into position. So I think Xabi Alonso is one of those managers to look for, you know, in the future.
Bro, you've made an excellent point, because when we look at it, all the CMs that their acceleration was below 58 on FIFA, like even like Michael Carrick, even like Michael Carrick.
Exactly, you know, he's doing a great job.
That Dan Abara. And then if you look at like your PMP man, or your Brexit man, your Lampard, your Stevies.
No. Exactly.
They've had howlers.
Roy Keane howlers. Stinkers.
Yeah.
Stinkers, yeah. So maybe the culture. So maybe Henry. Maybe Luka Modric. Let's just get ahead of the curve. Let's get him his culture.
Exactly. All right, so moving forward, because you guys are now fifth in it, and you're now firmly back in. Unlike Chelsea, you guys actually made it out of the mud and actually started putting results together. But the thing is, so with Chelsea, is if we want to end up in Europa League, yeah, I don't think that would be that detrimental to Chelsea going forward. Because the thing is, as well as in my scene, I can actually picture players like Kovacic and Mason Mount, like with the Europa League thing, because I've seen it before. Like, it's nothing new to me. Like, over the past decades, I've seen Chelsea playing the Europa League for 2 years, but since Liverpool have gone on this stretch and go hanging in with Man City have never had the scare of, you know what, they will never make the Champions League.
Never.
Do you think, how detrimental do you think it would be for players like Van Dijk and Salah starting to play Europa League football after the heights they've been doing?
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I don't ever want to turn my nose up at, you know, European football. European football is European football at the end of the day, but it just don't slap the same, you know what I'm saying? So I think for me personally, Europa League is a poison chalice, especially if you want to challenge for the league. So Arsenal, take heed. If I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm canning that Europa League. I'm fielding the under-23s. What's the name of that that 12-year-old that played against Brentford? Ethan. I'm giving Ethan some minutes. Tailends only.
Better than 12-year-old.
No, it's tailends only, because for me, like, I just think that if you look at it historically, like that Thursday to Sunday, I don't know what it is, but teams just can't hack it, especially when you go deep. Yeah. Like, normally teams that do well in the Europa League, they can the season. I remember Liverpool got to the final. I think we finished 8th 1 year. I know United didn't have a great year in the league when they went through as well. So I think I think just on the fitness side of things, I think it's bad. And then, yeah, as you said, you know, Liverpool have got some brands now. Like, as you said, you know, we talk about players' perception in the eyes of their peers. I saw Van Dijk in a green tuxedo in Paris at a football award show. Apparently, you know, where like he was sort of voted by fellow players to take part.
The best 11.
Yeah. Oh yeah, was it the best 11, was it? So like for me it's harmful for the brand. And personally, if I'm not in the Champions League, I don't want nothing to do with Europe, period.
100%.
Because I hate it.
Unlike some here, we actually know what it means to win the Champions League, innit? So it's just
it's loading.
I've got a cup of Winners' Cup in 1970.
I'm like, loading. It's loading. Don't worry, man. Don't worry. It's loading, man.
Champions of Europe, you'll never sing that.
Okay. Do no more. We're coming for it, man. We're coming.
Thanks, Chelsea, man. You say football with that one. Can I have it? I don't really like him, but...
Wait, bro. Are you saying Chelsea say football? Aren't Chelsea the same as Man City?
You know what? They are, but...
Oil money.
Money.
We're not the same. But we've caught up with them. We've got the same amount of Premier Leagues as them. So we're basically the same level.
Oh, my thing. To be fair...
But no Europe. Like
that European Cup holds weight.
But I'm telling you,
that's what I'm trying to say. But we can catch up with them. We can catch up with them within the next 3 seasons, though. Because next season,
bro, I'll be real. In an ideal world, I don't want none of you lot to win it.
Bro, but I trust it'll go for free this season.
But by 18 months, yeah, we could have the same amount of Champions League as Chelsea. Deep it.
I promise you that won't happen.
I'm just saying, because
they're gonna have 4 more than you.
No, but the thing is, because remember. Chelsea are going to go a season without Champions League.
Yeah, they are.
So, if we were, hypothetically, if we were to win it this year, that's one. We're going to have one star on the badge.
One down.
Then you men are playing, you men are not playing Champions League, but you're going to play round 2 of the EFL Cup. That's calm. and then we go and win another Champions League. So that's 2-2.
Do you know what?
It's not that deep.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that the players will be in, but I am actually fearful of that. I do think once City get that first notch under their belt,
Pepper, show me who he is.
They can win 2 or 3. No, because can I be with? I reckon if City beat Chelsea, when was it? 2020 or whenever, right?
2021.
I reckon if City beat Chelsea in 21,
yeah,
by 24, by that time, I don't have seen another one within those 3 seasons. I don't know. There's just something about momentum.
As Kanye said, I guess we'll never know.
Because bro, football heritage is a real thing. Yeah. You see, Real Madrid. That was autopilot last season.
Yeah.
That was 13 Champions Leagues under our belt.
But again, that was us though. That was us with the rookie small boy errors, isn't it?
Yes.
Small boy errors. Stay calm, be composed. We was going, bro. I was chilling. I was like, yeah, we're going to final, back to back finals. Then I just see, what's it called, Sky Sports News. I see 2-1. I said, "Fucking hell, get extra time. What the fuck's this?"
It's like
just 1-1.
When you got that pedigree, like, and especially I love that team. It's not like pedigree of like you're celebrating Champions League that these men won in 2001. It's ones that they've won 2014, 16, 17, 18. But obviously, we'll just bring this in. And just lastly, so before we close, what would you count as successful Liverpool this season?
This season can't be successful.
There's no chance.
There's no chance of success. What we can do to rescue the season is top four finish, We're in the Champions League, and then we can do the rebuild properly. Because I don't know with regards to how much of the budget is impacted. I don't know how much of the attraction with regards to players is impacted by us not being in the Champions League. So I think sort of get to the Champions League. Yeah. Beating Real Madrid is a pipe dream. Don't get me wrong. If we do score in the opening 10 minutes, like I think my glasses will come off. But I'm leaning forward, but I think we've given ourselves too much work. But yeah, top four, let's salvage this horror season, because that's what it is. We've gone from 92 points to at one point 8th, 9th, 10th in the league. So it's been a disaster. But we can salvage it by getting top four, I think.
Just a quick one, Adrian. Just on your end, if you to further, obviously you finished top four.
Yeah.
Three players that you'd want to bring in to this Liverpool squad. Three players.
Excellent question. I think the obvious one is Jude Bellingham. I just think the athleticism, the industry, cliche, I know, but you know, he does look a bit like a Steven Gerrard. I don't think he's necessarily great at passing or shooting, but I think Bellingham will be one. There's a boy. I think his name's Kone. Plays for Mönchengladbach. He's like a CDM.
Okay.
I might have got the name wrong, but I see his little clips of him. He's just a ball winner. You know, like he's very strong. Wins the ball. So I'd say he's good. And then, you know what? If I'm being cheeky, I know I sort of spoke about Liverpool's front line looking in good nick. Let's just say, for some reason, Diogo Jota leaves, and we were able to sort of get Victor Osimhen. That's mental. Yeah, that's mental. And then to have that sort of weapon with Nunes, with Gakpo, with Salah, and as I said, I'm probably playing Football Manager with that one.
So, I hear it.
But yeah, I mean, what a player! Like, he's pulling up trees. And
you did one rookie error there, bro. You told your signings to a Chelsea fan. You know Todd Bowley. You're gonna go sign Osimhen now and Bellingham. You're gonna go and steal them. Predictions first. You know the Fugazi ones, and then the CIA agent can go and talk to Todd Bowley and go and tell
Todd
him.
Bowley, Todd Bowley, you listening?
I forgot his director of football was Sky Sports News. My bad.
Exactly.
I really appreciate you for jumping in, Adrian. It's really insightful. Just a head of perspective from a Liverpool fan. Do you have any platforms that you want to shout out for yourself?
Oh, yeah, man. If you want to catch me on Twitter, it's at AD, so it's AIDDYLFC. But even more importantly than that, I actually do a football podcast. You know, either of you, to be fair, you know, you're more than welcome to sort of come on at some point. It's called Top 4 Podcast. So that's TOP, the number 4, POD, podcast, the word podcast. We literally sort of chop it up every Monday. Obviously, this week was a special episode, you know, sort of coming off the high.
Seven up.
Yeah, literally, man.
And also, just follow me on all my social media platforms, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at outbounds_UK. Adrian, we'd love to have you back sometime. And Sam, as I said, you can sleep over for another day. So,
I got my coat ready.
Until next time, thank you,
man. Peace, man.
What's up, man?